I'm a little self-conscious about the fact that we are talking to all of you because our next guest, Lissa Soep, is senior editor for audio at Vox Media, profoundly aware of the impact of the human voice. But what about after the speaker has gone? Lissa lost two very close friends, one Johnny suddenly in a freak swimming accident, the other Christine slowly with a dementia-like illness. These were people who wrote poetry, sent postcards, texts, emails, left voice messages. So Lissa had their words, but she soon realized she also had them in her DNA. Sometimes they came out of her mouth. And here's where Lissa's new memoir of loss also becomes an introduction for many of us to the early 20th century Russian philosopher Mikhail Bakhtin, who believed that language was the substance of an ethical life, that it echoes after the speaker is long gone. He had a devoted circle of followers who believed that a word is a bridge thrown between myself and another. And Lissa wondered, is there still a bridge if the ground on one side is eroding, if other people's words aren't being thrown? Her new book is Other People's Words. She joins us now. Lissa, welcome.
Thank you so much.
And you start the book with a story about Itaru Sasaki, who bought a phone booth in Japan in 2011, and he put it in his yard so that he could talk to his cousin who had died. Pretty soon the tsunami hit, and people were lining up to speak on his wind telephone, you know, to put their voices in the wind to people they'd lost. Towards the end of the book, we hear about Johnny's widow, Emily, who goes to a medium to find the words of Johnny. What are you setting up there for us?
Yeah, well, first, the opening with the wind telephone, that is a story that was reported by Mickey Meek on This American Life. And here was a vessel for reaching out to and hearing from beloved voices and having these sort of utterly mundane and yet kind of life-giving, magical conversations that crossed the barrier of loss, even if momentarily.
Well, I remember the story on This American Life, and your synopsis is killer. You know, they dialed numbers for destroyed lines that didn't ring and ruin houses. I'll be in fourth grade. Oh, I can't even read it. Grandma's fine.
Yeah. And there is kind of a split second possibility that I sensed in the story of the wind telephone, that moment when you pick up the receiver, it was like an old-fashioned rotary phone, and you go through the motions of dialing a phone call, and there's maybe this split second possibility of someone picking up. And there's so much kind of life and voice and sense of possibility that can exist in that split second that doesn't eradicate the grief, that doesn't bring people back, and yet provides a kind of consolation by opening a channel to the voices of those we cherish and who are no longer with us. And the way it connects to your question about Emily visiting a medium is in that split second possibility. And my observation, hearing Emily recount those moments, is not that she sat there and felt that Johnny was actually entering the room in any literal way. And yet it was a practice. It was a conversation she could enter. She could tap for what she needed, and then she could continue to live her life and find Johnny's voice where she needed it and discover it within her own voice.
Yeah. Well, and that brings us to Mikhail Bakhtin, who, if I've got this right, would say you can do this without the medium, without the phone, and it's there anyway. Just who is he?
So he was a philosopher of language, and he also wrote about literature, and he was obsessed with dialogue. So he looked for and listened for and found dialogue everywhere he turned, whether it was inside the pages of a book, and more importantly for me, in everyday life, in all of our voices, we are speaking with other people's words, and that's where I kind of lifted the title of the book. So in Bakhtin's phrase is, our speech is filled to overflowing with other people's words, right? Because we don't get our words from a dictionary. We don't draw our words from within ourselves. Our words accumulate through the relationships and histories that are all around us. And so Bakhtin would have us listening for the vibration of other voices that are present within our words. It's kind of a lesson to live by, you know, a way to sort of move about our lives, in particular in times of loss. And, you know, it can happen in everyday moments, like when my kids were little and I would be waking them up in the morning and I would hear this sort of like sing-songy voice come out of my own mouth and suddenly be like, where did my mother come from? Right? This sort of like inherited way of extracting my children from bed that, like, God knows, maybe her mother did the same thing, right? So there's this time travel that can happen when that vibration is present in our voices.
Well, a couple of things. Who doesn't realize when they open their mouth and their mother comes out or their grandmother? Yeah. I get made fun of because mine is, this too shall pass. But also this notion that, of course, people cross over into us. I mean, we learned in science class, right, that there's no hard edge. You can pour water above the glass, right? And so I always, you know, think of that. Yeah, that, of course, people that we're close with, our cells are being shared all over the place. Mm-hmm. But then how did you get through those losses? I mean, how did you apply Bakhtin to this idea? Mm-hmm. Yes, you all were such writers, so you have scraps of paper everywhere. Who hasn't held on to a voice message? You know, it's the only thing I have from my mother or my father.
You're right that in these friendships, there were so many kind of relics and artifacts left behind that allowed me to continue to experience the voices of Christine and Johnny after they were gone and hear new messages in them. For Johnny, you know, Emily very generously and trustingly shared with me at one point a series of voicemails that Johnny had left for her. He called her, hey, sugar, you know, so each message started with, hey, sugar, you know, I'm almost home, or hey, sugar, I'm just getting, you know, Max out of the bath. And when we listened to them together, I felt like I could hear them in two ways. You know, Bakhtin has this notion of double voicing, and there was almost like a doubling of Johnny's voice where I could hear when he was going about his life. And then I heard this other color in the voice, which was Johnny from, you know, after he was gone, and those messages containing a kind of through line to him that maybe felt like he could still check on her. Maybe there was still a presence there. Another example from Christine was when Christine, in her typical, utterly unsentimental fashion, when she performed the wedding ceremony for Chaz and me, she said all the lovely things, and then she said some hard things, like, you know, there will be times of wounding and the necessity for healing. And you know, those lines, when you're so young and just starting, you almost tune them out and think, oh, yeah, whatever, you know. And then over time, that voice of Christine came back to me and told me something I needed to hear through difficult periods in order to see my way through. So I think those are the ways that are, you know, these artifacts of beloved people in our lives continue to speak to us.
Well, and who knows what happens in the beyond, but you write about, you know, at the end, or what we think is the end anyway, that there's this, and some of us have seen it, there's this sudden lucidity, you know, on the part of people who are in that moment dying. We've always thought that, oh, they're seeing their parents or their partner or their lost loved ones. But you express maybe it's a flood of voices rushing into their souls. Every word the person who died had ever spoken or heard or written or felt or inherited. This is of Christine you're speaking. It's voices.
Yeah. And I, you know, part of what inspired me to write this book was my final visit with Christine when we knew she was dying and she had so few words left. And here was a person who had so much of our intimacy was formed around language. And so I knew that I would feel a lot of sadness with the absence of her words. But what I hadn't been prepared for was exactly what you described, this kind of dizzying presence of this sense of her voice, her imagined words, her remembered words, and the kind of poetry that remained. She had been a poet. She loved poetry. She lived by poetry. And I sensed her poetry in the end, and literally in artifacts of things that she had written, but even, you know, kind of in that sense of all of those voices flooding in. And I was totally dismayed that that's how I felt. And I didn't know how to make sense of it. And that is what sent me back to some of those ideas from Bakhtin and that notion of our speech filled to overflowing with other people's words and what kind of sent me on the path of writing the book.
Lissa Soep, the book is Other People's Words, Friendship Loss, and the Conversations That Never End. Lissa, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.